So when Isaiah gave this message from the Lord, he was speaking to the Jewish people who were exiled in Babylon. Well, they were in Babylon because they'd been unfaithful to their God. They'd been worshipping other gods, not the true God. And they'd been conquered by Babylon, and the people were taken away to live in a foreign country. A lot of them were working as slaves. They themselves were in a wilderness. I wonder if any of you have ever seen a wilderness, seen a place that is what we would call a wilderness. Have any of you? Yes. And what was it like?
Sad.
Sad. Sand. Sand everywhere, so a desert. Yeah. A desert, nothing growing. Nothing. Yeah. And meanwhile, when I went to the Atlas Mountains, that was really a wilderness for me. It was a sort of iron-coloured, that sort of reddy brown colour. And all you could see was that mountains and nothing growing at all. And it was really a bare and desolate place. Not a place that gave you any joy at all. Scary. Wilderness is a place where we may feel threatened, where we may feel alone and uncomfortable. They're hostile places. They're unfriendly. And that was the place where the people found themselves, the Israelites found themselves. Not that the place where they were living was a desert or in the middle of nowhere, but they weren't at home. Jerusalem was their home. And when we think of home, we think of a place of comfort. I know at the moment I am homeless. I'm staying at the moment with a friend because I moved out of my home a month ago now. And I'm staying with a friend because the house that I'm trying to buy is nowhere near complete yet. So I know that I don't feel at home. She's made me very welcome, but I know I'm not at home. I'm a bit in the wilderness. So Jerusalem was their home. And no matter how nice the place that I am at the moment, I still look forward to setting up home again, a place where I can truly relax and be myself, a place that can become familiar to me. And that's what the Judeans wanted. They wanted to go home. They wanted to be allowed to worship their God again, to live in their own city of Jerusalem, and not be part of this alien culture. I'm sure that some of you are old enough to remember that song, "By the Rivers of Babylon." By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, there we wept when we remembered Zion. They were homesick, finding it difficult to worship in a strange land. And Isaiah says to them, comfort, comfort my people. God has not deserted you. He says that you've paid for your sins, you've taken enough punishment, he's not forgotten you. That God is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. He doesn't leave us in the wilderness when we feel lonely and confused, when we feel uncomfortable and not sure how to get ourselves back to home. He will help us. He will help us through our own personal wilderness. We just have to trust him. And sometimes when we're in that place, it's not always easy. But like the Judeans Isaiah was speaking to, we too have to look to how he's helped us before. Look at his track record. And the older ones of us will be able to do that, to look back and say, yes, when I was in that wilderness, God helped me through. He knew what was going on. He had a plan for me. And if we can trust him and go with his plan, we know that he will be there for us. The Jewish people knew that that was their sin that was the cause of their exiles. Sometimes it's our sin. But God doesn't cut us off because of our sin. But that sin sometimes comes like a barrier in our relationship with him. We know it's there, a bit like the elephant in the room that no one mentions. Sin makes us feel guilty, Sin makes us feel guilty, and guilt is a hard thing to bear. We start to feel unworthy. We put ourselves down. It's a bit like a black cloud hanging over us. That barrier is in the way. We've put it in the way, not God. All he asks us to do is confess our sins so that we can accept his forgiveness, and then the barrier is removed and we can once again return to that comfort that we find in him. He is gracious and compassionate. Not only can he help us out of our wilderness experiences when our worlds seem bleak and uncomfortable, he can also help situations that seem to make our world seem like a wilderness. He can turn things around for those people on the margins. Cities can be bleak and inhospitable places if you're homeless, if you're an addict, if you're a refugee, if you're suffering from mental illness. We hear in Isaiah the voice calling in the wilderness. We can be that voice speaking out for those who can't speak for themselves. We can also speak to them. We can be the voice calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord, making it easy for those who need him to hear that they're loved, that he cares for them, that he is the God that changes lives. We're told to lift up our voices, to not be afraid. He can help us, and he can help us to help others, because, as it says in verse 11, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. We are his flock. He cares for us. So now we've got the message from Mark's Gospel. It uses the same words from Isaiah. And he was saying these words to his followers. John had many followers. People were flocking to him. They were very eager to hear what he had to say. Those people themselves were in a bit of a wilderness. They were living in a country that was occupied by the Romans. Although they were still at home, living in their own country, they were uncomfortable. The Romans brought with them some difficulties for the Jews. Heavy taxes, new gods. Soldiers making sure that people obeyed Roman law and not the Jewish law. They had a change, and change causes us sometimes to feel uncomfortable. Change sometimes causes us to feel insecure. They were looking for a king. They were looking for a Messiah, someone to lead them out of this oppression. And if you think about those words from Isaiah, he'll bare his arm. He'll come to get rid of all this stuff that's going on with them, to save them. They were looking for a king that they thought would be strong. He would be the one to get rid of the Romans. He was going to lead them back to the old ways. So as a very similar situation to those people, those Judeans that Isaiah was prophesying to. There hadn't been a prophet to speak for the people for many hundreds of years. And here was John. They knew he was a prophet because he was wearing a prophet's uniform. He had camel's hair on. He had a leather belt. He ate locusts and honey. Many strange things that prophets did, wasn't it? I must think that I'm glad I'm not a prophet, really. I mean, we don't see many people like that nowadays, do we? Camel's hair, leather belts, and eating locusts and honey. Maybe they were thinking, maybe God really is here for us. Maybe this brings us new hope. He was coming to save them. And John's saying to them, what you have to do is repent. You need to confess your sins. We spoke about that earlier, didn't we? But they didn't really understand. John said to them, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And that was the clue, wasn't it? The Holy Spirit was the clue. The clue that Jesus was going to be a spiritual king. Of course, still a king to release his people from oppression, but not in the way that they expected. Advent is a time of preparation and waiting for us. We prepare ourselves for many things, including in Advent, for the return of the Lord in glory, and for our hearts to receive Jesus as a baby, to celebrate his birth again at Christmas. In our day-to-day living, we sometimes get bogged down with questions that people ask us. Are you ready for Christmas? By that, we probably mean, have you bought everyone presents? Are the decorations up? Have you got the food ready? But Mark's Gospel begins with the clear assertion that Jesus is the Son of God. There's nothing that comes before it. There's no preamble. He goes straight in there. Jesus is the Son of God. Last week, I think that we heard that we will not know when he'll come again. So don't worry about it, but be ready. We may never be able to be completely ready. I'm never completely ready for anything. There's always seems to be more that I can do, more than I ought to do. But there always seems to be something that I've forgotten. And at this time, when we heard about this message from John, later on, Paul was writing to the Thessalonians because the Thessalonians had decided that Jesus was coming back very soon. And they were sitting around doing nothing. They were waiting for Jesus to come back. They were prepared. And Paul wrote to them saying, no, don't just sit there and wait. You have to keep working. God's called us to make disciples of all men. We've got something to do. And we don't know how much time we have. So you need to get on with it. So that we will be as ready as possible, that's what we need to do. When it comes, when Jesus returns, it will be so startling for us, but will also be extraordinary good news. For us, sometimes we characterize the wilderness as unsafe. We talked about it earlier on, didn't we? It's a wild place, untamed and dangerous. But it's also a place to explore. I remember when my daughter went traveling, exploring South America, she sent us some pictures of really wilderness places. But she still had a fantastic experience discovering salt flats, mountains, new people, and different cultures. The wilderness sometimes can help us to discover the world around us. And when we find ourselves in a wilderness, we can often find new solutions to old problems. The wilderness can inspire creativity, art, and appreciation of the beauty of the world. It helps us to find new insights into ourselves and into our world. Jesus and John both came out of the wilderness, bringing with them ideas that challenge the safety and security of the established order. They both sacrificed their own security and safety to provoke change in the world around them and to offer to the disciples, and that includes us, a chance to discover new ways of being and of doing. So now just let's imagine ourselves in a wilderness. Let's shut our eyes and imagine us somewhere inhospitable, maybe hot and sandy, a desert place, or cold and rocky, a mountain plateau. Is this wilderness dangerous? Is it challenging? What are the challenges that you're facing in this place? Perhaps there's part of the wilderness that is beautiful. Majestic mountains, birds soaring in a clear blue sky, maybe better intents in the distance, beckoning, thunderclouds rolling, and then you see Jesus walking towards you. He takes your hand and leads you along that straight path. He leads you home to a place of comfort and security. How does it feel to be home? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, during Advent, help us to prepare a way for you to come home to us and for us to come home to you. Lead us in paths of righteousness and holiness, so that as we wait for the new heaven and the new earth, it may already have begun here in our hearts. Amen.